entity misidentifies himself with the material body and is therefore unable to know what his past or future is, how the living entity becomes associated with the senses, with the mind, with the gross and subtle bodies, and in the center of all of this is his strong material desire for enjoyment, which gets him into entanglement. When we get to text 52, he's inept at controlling his senses and mind. He's forced to act against his will by the modes of material nature he's acquired. He creates a cocoon and then gets caught in it and can't get out. So he's always bewildered, and he continues in birth and death. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatatistatya karmakrit, practically like Bhagavad Gita. So he creates, he gets gross and subtle bodies according to his desire. That's also described in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how the subtle body attracts the gross body. He gets a particular kind of eye, a particular kind of ear and nose and tongue, grouped around the mind. The mind is the center for all of this. According to his mentality, he gets a gross body. But he can overcome all of this if he's taught in the human life how to associate with the Lord or with the devotee of the Lord. Now they're going to tell us, the Yamadutas, about the, or they're going to tell the Vishnudutas, really, basically saying, hey, look at this guy's record. He was a good Brahmin in the beginning, studied all the Vedic literature, he had all these good qualities. He was mild and gentle. They run through all of his very nice Brahminical qualities. But Ekada, once upon a time, he went to the forest to collect stuff for worshipping the deity or for performing sacrifice, and along the way he came upon a Shudra and a prostitute embracing and kissing, and they were both drunk, and her dress was loose, and whoa, what a scene, you know, it was like practically everything going on there, right out there in the forest. And when he saw this, his lusty desires became awakened, and he tried to remember instructions from the Shastra. He tried to control his senses and his mind by his intelligence, but he failed. And Prabhupada comments that the atmosphere in Kali Yuga is very difficult. The one who was telling me yesterday, Vidvan Goranga, that in the Brahminical families, you know, even if you were if you were touching your wife, your mother would say, "You were touching your wife." I mean, just, you know, like touching. You're a Brahmin and you were touching your wife. Imagine. Yeah, it's like, what? But apart from such high Brahminical standards, we wouldn't see these public expressions of affection. I've joked that if I wanted to start a business, you know, I could start a, like bedrooms at the boarding gates of the airline and the airline terminals for people who are saying their goodbyes and everything. You know, it gets pretty deep there sometimes, expressive. And people don't care what's public, what's, you know, it's love, and love is good for everyone. That seems to be the attitude. And certainly it's good for business, if you can depict anything intimate and, if possible, kinky then you can sell more whatever it is, more Calvin Klein stuff. What to speak of the internet? Just as a word to the wise, the internet is bad. And there are sites on the bad internet that are really bad. And they're professionally designed by experienced people to screw your mind up. So wise people will avoid such sites. We know of friends who've just really gotten in trouble by visiting the wrong site. So be careful. Apart from that, just the whole atmosphere is bad. So only by Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, if someone is strong in Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter. Our book distributors sometimes, you know, they find themselves in a funny situation. I can tell you some stories. Anyway, our book distributors find themselves sometimes in unusual circumstances, but because they're absorbed in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, they live to tell the tale. But in this case, the Ajamil became overwhelmed, and he was always thinking about that prostitute, and shortly after, he took up a relationship with her and brought her into his house and ditched his wife, spent on her whatever money he inherited, and he had a good wife from a nice family, and just became a totally low character. He was born in a Brahmin family. Yeah, give me text 67, Yamadutta.
This Brahmin irresponsibly spent his long lifetime transgressing all the rules and regulations.
Oh, I'm sorry, give me 66.
Because his intelligence was pierced by the lustful glance of the prostitute.
Okay, we'll take it there. 66, next verse.
Although born of a Brahmin family, this rascal, bereft of intelligence because of the prostitute's association, earned money somehow or another, regardless of whether properly or improperly, and used it to maintain the prostitute's son and daughters.
Yeah. Somehow or other, get money and maintain this the sons and daughters of this prostitute that you're living with. And then the next verse.
Brahman irresponsibly spent his long lifetime transgressing all the rules and regulations of the holy scriptures, living extravagantly and eating food prepared by a prostitute. Therefore, he is full of sins. He is unclean and is addicted to forbidden activities.
Yeah. The Prabhupada emphasizes food cooked by a prostitute. The mentality of the person who's cooking enters the food. You're eating food cooked by a prostitute. My goodness, what kind of consciousness are you eating? And he's a Brahmin. You know, Brahmins—they're so strict; they won't eat in the house of anyone but a Brahmin of the same class. And it's so careful, so fastidious, you know. And here's this guy who's shacked up with a whore and eating what she's cooking. So, what kind of person is he? Irresponsible Swairachari, doing whatever the hell he likes. That's what Swairachari means, doing whatever he wants. Atigarhita, condemned. And Chiram Kalam, he's been doing it for a long time. Agha Ayu, well, his whole life is sinful. Malad, filthy. Shastram Ulankya, just violating all the Shastric rules and regulations. 68.
This man, Ajamil, did not undergo atonement. Therefore, because of his sinful life, we must take him into the presence of Yamaraj for punishment. There, according to the extent of his sinful acts, he will be punished and thus purified.
Okay, so here's the conclusion. You want to know what religion is? We'll tell you what religion is. Religion is the rules and regulations coming from the Vedas. The Vedas come from Narayan. The rules and regulations are enforced by Yamaraj, who has all these witnesses who can verify what a person has done. According to the gravity of his sinful activities, he's punished, and when he's punished, he's purified. And here's this guy, you know, we'll give you the story of his case, and it's ghastly. He was coming from a Brahmin family, he was coming from a high-class family, and he had a good wife, and he had respectable parents, and then he got involved with this prostitute, you know, some floozy, some loose piece of work who was out there in the forest with some sudra guy, and he lined up to be the next one, and you know, just lived his whole life transgressing every principle you can imagine, and just, you know, he's totally degraded person. So we're taking him. That's the story. Any questions? Which what? Well, modern psychologists are really a mess. Tuesday they say one thing and Friday they say something else. And what do they mean, physical affection? Kissing and hugging and embracing and this and that. Gee, there's a whole lot of Indian kids who seem to have come out okay without seeing everybody kissing and hugging all the time. Right? These people are culturally bound, and not only culturally bound, but bound by their education. You know, they've picked up a batch of theories which tell them X, Y, Z, and which are biased by their own, the psychological profession is full of weird ideas, really. Based not only on science, but on the assumptions that you bring to science or what you want to get out of science, really. They're called the soft sciences to begin with, psychology, you know, it's not physics, it's not engineering, it's or mathematics, it's soft sciences, which basically mean you want it to go this way, it goes that way. You want it to go the other way, it goes the other way. It's whichever way you push it. It's not objectively verifiable. You can do studies, but then your studies are very subjective. So they say all of these things. Our ancestors did fine without, you know, now it's like you get on an airplane and people are kissing and hugging while they're waiting to go to the toilet, you know. It's only a few flights ago, really. And it was only a few generations ago where, you know, even holding hands in public would be like low class. It just would be low class. And now nothing's low class. But whole generations and generations of people grew up in what we would consider very restricted, straight-laced environments, and came out okay. You know, they became presidents and kings and philosophers and scientists and saints and some of them became scoundrels and all of that. But there's this enormous press in the direction of let it all hang out. if you want to read a good, mundane, entertaining analysis of this stuff, Tom Wolfe, the American writer, wrote a book called Mauve Gloves and Mad Men, Clutter and Vine, a collection of short pieces. And in one of them, one piece is called something like The Computer and the Boiler Room. I think that's what it's called. I actually have a copy of it now that I think about it. No, do I? No, I don't. But it's a really good take on this psychological supposition that human beings are something like boilers, and they generate this steam. And the steam just builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up, and finally it reaches such a heavy pressure that either you open up a safety valve and the steam can escape in an orderly fashion, or else the boiler explodes and everything goes totally destructive. And so it is. You see, the human beings have all these passions and desires in them, and there have to be these desires have to be gratified, otherwise the human being will explode. He'll go mad. He'll become warped and perverted and so on. He'll grow up crooked, and before he's already grown up, he'll be frustrated and so on and so on. So that model is there. But he says the real model is more like, in computers, there's what they call the yes gate. And those who know computer programs, you start here, and then you get down to here, and then there's a choice, yes or no. You know, like if the user right clicks, that's a yes. If he doesn't click, it's a no. Or if the user does this, that's a yes or no. Or whatever it might be. If the answer is a zero, that's a yes. If the answer is a one, it's a no. And yes gate, now if it's yes, so that leads to the next choice. So then there's some more, and then some more. And when he says it's, when these yes gates start opening, yes, 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 yes. And you open up the gates, and then anything goes. It's not, you know, a completely different model. You just say, well, sure, you know, just yes. And then yes, and then yes. And it's yes to everything. So he says that's the real story. Not the boiler room and the escape valve that has to be opened up so the guy doesn't explode. The real story is that you're just saying, you're telling the guy, yes, 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 and pretty soon it's yes to everything. You get a job meal at his most degraded. Now, I'm not going to say much about Brahminical customs and family life, or Hindu customs and family life, or Vedic customs and family life, because that's not my area of expertise. I didn't grow up in such a family. I'm not well versed in proper standards of conduct and how much affection is displayed in what circumstance and all of that. For that, you can consult some of the local people who grew up in good families and so on. But in principle, the idea that, you know, unless everybody's smooching half the day, kid's going to grow up warped, is a lot of rubbish. Okay. Yeah. Back to Srimad Bhagavatam.
We have time for another question.
Yeah.
It seems like Ajamil had initially fallen down. Maybe it could be understood to be like an accidental fall down, or, you know, and then he was stuck in that situation and it just got worse and worse and worse. Mm. And there was no one there to help him get out of it. So at what point does it become his choice of free will or an accidental?
Well, it's a good question. What's free will? How much is... You can get into a whole discussion of free will here, which I was thinking about, but which we really don't have time for. Partly because it's an endless topic. To what extent is there free will? We know that it's very small. Basically, the living entity who turns away from Krishna gets captured by the three modes of material nature. And then his, in spite of his free will, that's what we find here, Ajamila, in spite of his desire to control his senses, became overwhelmed. We read that yesterday. What was that? In the second chapter, and then again it was later. Yipto yapikantaya, something vipastita, indriyani pramatini, ananti kasatam manaha. Now even he's trying to control his senses and mind, but they get carried away. Indriyanam ichadatam yanno, yanmano nivadiyati, vidiyate, tarasya arati pragyam, vahiranam, vipandasam. Like a boat getting carried off by a strong gust of wind. So, you know, where is free will in that? Well, you misused your free will by coming to the material world, and now you have a serious problem. It's really very difficult unless one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Maybe we'll leave it there for the moment. Now the Vishnu Dutas come back. Vishnu Dutas, are you there with text 2?
Alas, how painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person.
This is where the Vishnu Dutas how the Vishnu Dutas reply. You've given us this whole story about how sinful the guy is. Oh, it's so unfortunate. You people don't know anything about religion. And so you're punishing somebody who doesn't deserve to be punished. They accuse the Yamadutas of violating the religious principles by attempting to drag Ajamila to Yamaraj for punishment. If completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraj is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraj, but throughout human society also. How painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. The Vishnu Dutas strongly condemn this. A king or governmental official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer, and protector of the citizens because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures and be equal to everyone. Yamaraj does this, the master of justice, and those who follow in his footsteps. But if they become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? The government should see to Parachanaya Sadhunam, to protect the sadhus, to protect the honest persons, the saintly persons, the good persons. If the government punishes the sadhus, if the government punishes the good people, punishes the saintly people, punishes the honest people, where will the citizens go for protection? The government is supposed to be that entity which protects the citizens. And when you go to the government, if the government itself is polluted and punishes the honest people, the saintly people, what will become of things? The government has to be knowledgeable. Government has to know what the religious principles are. It can't be just a group of sentimental people, or people who say, well, on the one side, we want to make these people happy, but on the other side, you know, we don't want to make those people unhappy, and well, if we do this, then, you know, we'll get this, but if we do that, then this might happen. And like playing chess, and thinking about what your good and bad results are going to be, or which groups you have to gratify. Well, on the one side, we have to satisfy these people, but on the other side, we have to satisfy those people, and forgetting all about what the actual principles of Dharma are. Yamaraj is not responsible for, on the one side, making these people not to be satisfied, and on the other side, not dissatisfying those people. That's not his job. His job is to know the principles of religion and apply them. This person should be punished. We don't care how popular he is. We don't care what people think. He should be punished. And this person is not eligible for punishment. We don't care what you think. We don't care how many votes are on the other side or how many people you have on your petition. We go by Shastra. By Shastra, this person should be punished, or this person should not be punished. And we don't make it up as we go along according to what's going to satisfy our constituencies. It's actually according to Shastra. That means you have to know. Government means responsibility. Responsibility is not a small thing. If you're responsible, you have to know. You can't be ignorant. You can't be irreligious. You can't be making it up as you go along. You have to know. And when you know, you have to follow. Not we know but. You have to know and you have to follow. These are our principles. We stand by our principles. We run on principles. The government runs on religious principles. Maharaj is used here. His government ran on religious principles. Didn't run on this will be to our advantage, that will be to our disadvantage. That's also there, advantage and disadvantage, but if it's to our advantage and it's irreligious, we won't do it. And if it means we lose, but it's our duty, we do it. That's religion. Dharma. Dharma means, what is my duty? Not what makes me popular, not what most people want, not how it looks to the public. What is actually the principle? If you give up principles, nasasiddham abhavnoti nasukham nakaram, there won't be happiness, there won't be a good result. Though you'll get some temporary, maybe, good result. Maybe. But in the long run, you lose. In the long run, you lose. Have to follow principles of religion, which means you have to know them and you have to apply them. So the Yamadutas, Vishnudutas, were lamenting. These people have authority. They're the Yamaraj's men. And they're arresting an innocent person. Don't they know what they're doing? What? How bad this is that the government, Yamaraj means, he's in charge of, he's like superintendent of police for Krishna. What is it like if the police attack the innocent people? And that's what he's saying. The mass of people, what the Vishnudutas are saying, the mass of people follow the example of the leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. That means the leader has to know, and the leader sets the example. Not that the leader puts his finger in the air and sees which way the wind is blowing. That's not a leader. The leader sets the example. And he can say, you may think this, but Shastra says that. You may say this, but our philosophy says that. He's not the guy who puts his finger in the air. That's the current politicians. They put their finger in the air, they hire some big company to put their finger in the air, and the company comes back and says, well, it's 20 degrees west by northwest. And so the candidate comes out and says, well, you know, in these days when the wind is blowing 20 degrees west by northwest, the best thing to do is, as you all know, that's not a leader, that's a dog. The leader means he knows, and he sets the example. Sayak pramanam kurute. What he does is sets the standard. Lokas tadanavartite, for other people to follow. Otherwise, if the leaders follow irreligious principles, then the followers are going to follow irreligious principles. Andayatandarupaniyaman. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal, sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? You surrender to the government, all right, whatever you decide, we'll go with that, and then the government screws you to satisfy another constituency? Is that all right? The Sanskrit word Vishvata, Vishvasta, Kata, refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. For such betrayals now go unpunished by the government. All of human society is terribly contaminated. Government can't do that. It can't treat its citizens that way. Whether they're animals, whether they're human beings, whether they're men, whether they're women, whether they're children, whether they're anything, the government cannot breach the trust of the citizens by sometimes going this way, sometimes going that way, sometimes going the other way, according to political advantage or the way the wind is blowing, or what seems right at the moment. They have to go by principles of dharma. And if they don't know the principles of dharma, they shouldn't be in the government. Or if they know but don't follow, they shouldn't be in the government. They should be doing something else. Jamil's already atoned for his sinful actions. You're dragging him down there to atone for his sinful reactions. He's already done it, you idiots. You ignorant fools. He's already atoned for his sinful reactions. You want to see him, drag him down there and get some atonement out of him. He's already atoned. Not only for sins performed in one life, but those performed in millions of lives. Millions of lifetimes. Why he's helplessly chanted the holy name of Narayana. even though he didn't chant purely, he chanted without offense. So he's pure and eligible for liberation. What to speak of the time of death, even previously, while eating and at other times, he would call his son, "My dear Narayan, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he uttered those four syllables, Narayana. And simply by chanting the name of Narayan in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. This is the glory of the holy name of Krishna. You're taking him to be punished, but he's not eligible. He's not to be punished by you. He's in our jurisdiction, not yours. Any questions?
Excuse me?
Yeah, we can only lament on the sidelines. These governments of the modern age are so degraded. I've said several times in class that if people knew what our governments were doing, they would drag the people out of their offices, line them up against the wall, and shoot them. And somebody told me the other day that Prabhupada had said that. It's in his folio somewhere. I was happy about that. It's actually true. People, if they really knew what their leaders were doing, they would be so outraged. You know, they get this nice picture of family man and, you know nice, jovial, responsible, concerned leaders. They actually knew what these people were doing. They just, shooting them would be the least they would do to them. How vicious these modern politicians are. How vicious. And what can we do? Prabhupada said that we can only spread Krishna consciousness. That's meant for creating a revolution in the world. There's so many political groups. There are people who know. You know, there's a whole contingent of people who know about this one and know about that one and know about the next one. Some are on the liberal side, some are on the conservative side, because there's dogs and cats in every direction. Not that the conservatives are the bad guys, the liberals are the good guys. They're all cats and dogs. And there are people who know it. And they have their political movements and their truth movements and their reform movements and their this movement and that movement. And what can they do? They're controlled by the modes of nature themselves. The best that happens is that they overthrow these cats and dogs and then they become the next cats and dogs. So, what can be done? Therefore, the only solution that Prabhupada endorses is spreading Krishna consciousness. Yes?
One thing came to my mind while reading this Adamaran history, that he just chanted the name of Narayana while calling his son, then finally he was given a chance where he would go to Haridwar and perform his devotional service to perfect his life. So in this connection, the people who are coming from outside the dham, or they are meeting the Sankirtan party in the streets, joining with them and chanting. So that means this is going to give them a chance where they may be again, they will be able to conduct their spiritual life in the instead of suffering the condition of life.
Okay, we can stop here. Thank you all very much.
Hey.